Amen. What a joy to hear from our children this morning as they lead us. And thank you so much, Miss Melissa, for what you do. Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night, starting at 6 o'clock in the evening, Praise Kids meets upstairs for now. And so if you know of any children who aren't participating in that, I want to encourage you to encourage them to come and be a part of that. We're looking in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24 this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. So you can be finding your way there, finding your place in God's Word as we study His Word together today. We're thankful so much for the resurrection and Resurrection Sunday and how wonderful that was to celebrate. But we're looking at the post-resurrection appearances now for the next couple of weeks. And one of these post-resurrection appearances happens on the road. On the road. I think about roads a lot. I used to burn them roads up and down, all the way from Arm, Mississippi, all the way down to Gulfport, Mississippi. Did that every week, a couple times a week for a while I was working for the Mississippi State Rating Bureau, doing some of the work there for them. And I got so used to those roads, traveling those roads, I remember just waking up almost as I pulled into my driveway after 2.5 hours on the road going, I don't remember a thing about what I just saw on the road. And it was, thankfully, that was an uneventful journey return home and nothing bad happened. But I didn't remember a mile of that stretch between Gulfport and Arm, which was bad. I was terrified that I could do that. And that's how well I knew that road. Well, these two disciples in this passage, they know this road so well from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They probably lived somewhere in that vicinity, probably traveled this road 1,000 times. They knew every twist in the road. They knew every tree on every hill. They knew every rock. They probably had names for the rocks. And they knew every little squirrel that scampered across the road on their way. They knew this road very well. But something extraordinary happened on their journey when Jesus appeared to them. Something supernatural. And what they didn't understand at first was that they had a divine appointment with Jesus on that road that would change the way they traveled that road for the rest of their lives. Actually, whenever they get to Emmaus and they realize that they had been with Jesus, they turn around and they go back in the opposite direction on that road. They're changed forever. And so this is the truth that I want you to see as we're about to read. And I think, Miss Sue, we're just going to read the first couple of verses there. Here's the biblical truth. You have a daily divine appointment to spend time with Jesus. You do. Not just these two on the road, not just the 12 that were in the room, not just those that we see in the Bible that encountered Jesus on the road, like Paul. I think about him and how Jesus knocked him off of his horse. But you have a divine appointment with Jesus every single day. And how do you meet with him? Well, you meet with him in his word as he speaks daily to you. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to read from Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. The word begins this way. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. So it's still Sunday, the day of the resurrection, okay? And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And Lord, you do want to meet with us in our ordinary, everyday, mundane, coming and going. Lord, that we could have supernatural power so that we can have comfort and peace and joy for living. And so, Father, we can make a difference for you and for your kingdom here on this earth and in the lives of those around us. Lord, we pray that every day we would wake up with a hunger for you, a holy heartburn for you, Lord, that only you can satisfy, only you can sustain us for. Lord, today, shape us and mold us in the image of Jesus Christ. Use your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today, I want to challenge you. If you've strayed away from getting into God's word on a daily basis and having that divine appointment with him, keeping your end of that divine appointment with Jesus every day, I want to challenge you to renew that commitment to God's word today. And I know that we're busy. I know that now that the vaccine has come out, everybody's going back to work and life is starting to get back to normal. I even heard that next school year, they're going to tell the kids they don't have to wear their mask anymore at school. Praise God for that. I'm thankful for that because I'm tired of seeing my kids get out of the car with their mask on. And I'm tired of it, more than that, tired of them forgetting their mask at home. So then we got to figure out what they're going to do. So here's the thing. We are all busy. We all have things to do. But listen, this one commitment, this one divine appointment that you have every single day to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ in his word is the most crucial appointment that you have throughout your day with him. And so, if we're not keeping that, we're going to lack power. We're going to lack a purpose for the day. We're going to lack direction. We're not going to know what he wants us to do. And we'll be living on yesterday's manna. Y'all know the story about that, right? When the Israelites tried to keep some of the manna over for the next day, they opened up their jar of manna and it stank and it was sour and stale and they couldn't even stand it. It was full of worms. And so that's what it's like when a Christian misses their appointment. All they have to sustain them for the day is yesterday's manna. So I want to give you today five supernatural spiritual blessings from walking daily in God's Word. And some of you said, he's got 5 points today? Yeah, I've got 5 points today, but we're going to go fast, okay? So y'all hold on. You ready? Get your pen ready. We're going to write them down. Roy said, amen. He keeps telling me he's going to help me shorten my sermons. I don't know how he's going to do that, but somehow he wants to help me shorten them. Joy for your journey, number one, is what you'll have if you keep that divine appointment and you walk daily in God's word. Joy for your journey. Notice what happens. They're walking back and they're talking, verse 14, with each other about all these things and what had happened. In verse 15, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They weren't looking for Jesus. Jesus was looking for them. Amen. I'm so thankful. Even whenever I wasn't looking for Jesus was looking for me. And he found me on my road. on my road that the Bible talks about, the road is broad, and those that are on it are many, and its destination is hell. But Jesus found me on that road, and he turned me around, and he put me on the road that he wanted me on. Jesus drew near, and he went with them. But their eyes were kept for recognizing him. Now, we have here what we call the divine passive tense, meaning that God himself was the one who kept them from recognizing him. I want you to understand why, though. Why would God keep them from recognizing Jesus on the road, at least for that brief period of time? It's so that they could hear what he had to say without being starstruck and so amazed and at all. I mean, if you seen somebody raised from the dead, wouldn't you be just starstruck? You wouldn't hear anything else they had to say. You would just be so amazed at what happened. And so God kept them from recognizing Jesus for a time so that they could hear the words of Jesus. I think sometimes we go to the Word of God expecting God to supernaturally show up and just all of a sudden answer us. Really what he wants us to do is just slow down and spend some time in his Word and hear what he has to say. I've done it before. You've done it too. We're in a desperate situation or we're trying to make a decision and we play roulette with the Scriptures. We just open it up and, oh, there it is right there. That's a dangerous thing to do because every once in a while you might come across a passage that says, go and sell everything you own, right? Or something like that. And it's dangerous if we treat the Scripture that way because we might come up with false interpretation. We have to be careful. But God tells us that he wants to spend time with us. And he wants us to slow down and hear his Word. Hear what Jesus has to say. And so that's why he kept their eyes from seeing and then from recognizing him. Verse 17, he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? Now, as I read that and I study this passage, I wonder, does Jesus not know what they're talking about? Of course Jesus knows everything that they're talking about. He wants to provoke this conversation further. He wants to take them through a journey in his Word, in the Old Testament, to show himself to them. And so the end of verse 17 says, and they stood still looking sad. They stood still looking sad. And so Jesus stopped them in their tracks with that question. And it's almost like they feel so defeated on this road, this journey home, that they're not even sure if they want to take another step. They stood still looking sad. This journey home was a lot like that bus ride home from that playoff team that just suffered the worst loss on the road, and they're headed back home. And what little bit of conversation that is had in that bus is like, man, well, if we had just done this, or, man, I don't know what went wrong. And they just feel so defeated. It's over after that. And these two disciples are journeying back home, wondering if it will ever be worth journeying back to Jerusalem ever again. Did we just waste our lives with Jesus? All their hopes dashed. And so they stood still, looking sad. Think about the disappointments that we have in our lives. Sometimes along your journey, there's going to be some disappointments. Maybe some of you have had disappointments this year. In 1874, hymn writer Francis Ridley Havergal wrote a poem for the New York New Year and printed it on specially designed greeting cards for friends. And here's what it said. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with Thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving Thy presence all the days. That's a wonderful, wonderful hymn, isn't it? Well, a few days later, a letter arrived in the mail early in January, right after she printed this wonderful poem, which was a prayer. And she received this letter from her American publisher, and it should have brought the first payment of £35 to that were due to her for her latest article that she had written. But it actually brought news that her publisher had filed for bankruptcy due to the stock market crash of 1873. It was a crushing disappointment. But her joy was unshaken. And she wrote, 2 months ago, this would have been a real trial to me, for I had built a good deal on my American prospects. Now, thy will be done is not a sigh, but only a song. Thy will be done is not a sigh, but only a song. And see, when we wake up in the morning and we put our big boy pants on, our big girl pants on, and we get ready to go face the day ahead, if we have spent time with God and His Word, He gives us joy for that journey. And what He does is He says, thy will be done to our heart. And He said, that's what we're supposed to pray. And we pray that back to God and we say, thy will be done. Not your will, but not my will, but your will be done. When we pray that, it becomes not a sigh to God like, thy will be done. But it becomes a song. We have joy in our journey. So that's the first spiritual blessing that we have. But secondly, we have clarity for our conversation. Joy in your journey and clarity in your conversation. Notice Jesus says, what is this conversation that you're having? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him. And he said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus says, what things? And so then this disciple begins telling Jesus all about what happened. And he points out a few things about the reputation of Jesus. He tells him that he was a prophet. But we know that he was not just a prophet, but the prophet. And Jesus knew that. They said he was mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And we understand that his power identifies him as the one and only begotten Son of God, our Savior. And they said, well, he was condemned to death, crucified. But we understand the reality of Jesus is that he died for our sins. His condemnation was not his own but ours, and he took it for us. And some had hoped that he was the Redeemer of Israel. But not only is he the Redeemer of Israel, but the Savior of all mankind. That's you and me. And they said, moreover, it's been 3 days since this has happened. He's really dead, they thought. But here he is, the proof of the resurrection, standing beside them. And so whenever I hear all of this, and I think about some of the words that they say in verse 22, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They're amazed. That word really is about bewilderment, wonder. How in the world could this happen? They've said he's been raised from the dead. Some people went to the tomb and found him. These disciples are utterly confused. And their conversation has absolutely no clarity. But then Jesus, he rebukes them, doesn't he? Look at what it says, verse 25. O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe. O foolish ones, O slow of heart to believe. You know, a lot of people, I hear people all around whenever I'm checking out in the Walmart or somewhere like that, and I'll say, hope you have a blessed day, and they'll say, I hope you have a blessed day. And then I'll stop for a second, I'll say, God bless you. Hope you have a blessed day. God bless you. And so I'm getting better at that. But what I want to do is point them to the one who is the source of blessings. I want to have a conversation that actually has some clarity. When I sit down at the dinner table with my children and we talk and we're talking about the things that happened during their day and we're talking about the struggles that they face, I want to be the one at the table who has clarity about their situation. I want to be the one at the table that can share with them who Jesus is and what Jesus did for them. And that divine appointment that I have in the morning is so important and so crucial. Because in the evening when my kids are and my family are gathered around the table, I'll have clarity in that conversation if I've kept that divine appointment. And I'm walking in His Word. Let Jesus bring clarity into your conversation. So that's the second point. Third point, if I can get my pages in order. You'll have joy for your journey, clarity for your conversation, and hope for your heart. So Jesus rebukes their lack of faith, and He says, the ones that are slow of heart. And often, our spiritual immaturity is not that we can't understand Scripture, or even that we don't know Scripture. And I think sometimes we take this divine appointment, and we put it in our appointment book, and we decide we're going to keep it. We're going to read our Bible every day, and it's just like a check mark that we want to check off. You remember the little Sunday school envelopes that we used to have a long time ago? Did you show up for Sunday school class? Check. Yes, I did. Did you bring your Bible? Yes, I did. Did you show up on time? Yes, I did. I mean, I guess they, at some point in time, churches started having trouble with people not getting to Sunday school on time. They want to put that on the envelope. Check it off. I have this, I've told you guys this before. I have this this app on my phone. It's the Bible app. It's called YouVersion. Have any of you picked that one up lately since I've been telling you about? If you don't have YouVersion on your or you don't have any, some other one that you really enjoy, get YouVersion. But the other day I had company. I had worked up. I had not missed a single day in opening my Bible app. It keeps up with it. It's called a streak. My streak got struck. And when my company was here and I didn't open up my Bible last weekend. And so now I'm starting back over with my streak, trying to stay in it. But I think sometimes with our Bible reading and all the things that we do, we just go through the motions of it, trying to check it off the list. But God wants us to get deeper in His Word, spend time with Him, slow down and spend time with Him. And He wants us to understand the deeper things. But more than understand, He wants us to believe. Because if we truly believe and we let it touch our hearts, then it will change our lives. It will change our journey. And these disciples are learning from Jesus, the ultimate teacher. Someone said, this is the greatest sermon ever preached. Emmaus was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So put that in perspective. It's about, like, if you left from here, from our parking lot, and you went right over to the Bay Bridge. We call that 3-mile bridge. Somebody said it's like 2.8-mile bridge now. But anyway, three-mile bridge. Over that way, it's about how far it was from Jerusalem to Emmaus, where they live. About 7 miles from Jerusalem. And so, for at least part of that journey, maybe the majority of that journey, they're walking with Jesus. Could have taken 2 to 3 hours. And they're hearing Jesus take the Old Testament Scriptures and go through those Scriptures and point to every page, every passage that reveals Himself as the Messiah. Wouldn't that have been amazing? It's beginning with Moses and the prophets. That means the Torah and the Nevi'im, the prophets, the Old Testament. And Jesus is preached. You know, the Bible, the central figure of all of the Bible is Jesus. Jesus is on every single page of Scripture if you know how to look for Him. Right? You remember the Where's Waldo? We ought to go to the Bible. We ought to go to the Bible every time we open it up, whatever passage we're in, whatever passage we're studying, and we ought to go, where's Jesus? Because He's there, folks. In every single passage of Scripture, Jesus is present. And so Jesus walks, beginning with Moses and the prophets, He begins to walk through the Scripture and show them Himself. The rabbis found out that there's 456 explicitly messianic texts in all of script, in all of the Old Testament. 456 times the Old Testament reveals who the Messiah will be. And Jesus, obviously, he stops at a few of those on the road to Emmaus and shows them. This points to me. Yeah, he's not revealed yet, but this points to the Messiah. It's important to know your Bible. But it's infinitely more important to know its author. Jesus himself is the incarnate Word of God. And listen to what it says in Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The Bible is the only book that when you read it, it reads you. And that day, as they were walking with the living Word of God, he was reading their hearts. And you know what he saw in their hearts? He saw despair. He saw a lack of hope, a lack of understanding. And so he clears it all up for them. And then he says, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things? Was it not necessary? This had to happen. They were defeated because Jesus had died. But Jesus said he won the victory whenever he died. And it had to happen. And then it says, and then enter into his glory. As these men are headed to Emmaus, and then they turn around and they start headed back to Jerusalem. All of a sudden, their journey is changing forever. And now they have purpose. And I think for some of us today, you think that your journey has come to an end. You think that God's finished with you. I mean, these guys were there for the miracles. They were there in the upper room with the disciples, with the rest of the 11. These two are not the 11. But they were there. They were on that hillside when Jesus broke bread and gave it out and fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes. They were there. They saw all of that. And now they're thinking, well, it's all over. And maybe you thought a couple of times in your life, well, this is it. This is over. What Jesus wanted them to understand is this was necessary, but now we're moving on to greater things. Now we're going forward to greater things. He said he was going to go enter into his glory. And folks, the glory days for the church are still ahead. I mean, so many churches right now, and so many people who are sitting in churches right now, they feel like this must be it. Come, Lord Jesus, it's over. Jesus warned us. He said, there's going to be some people that call themselves Christians, and they're going to be sleeping when he comes. The Bible teaches us that we have work to do for his kingdom until he comes. There's work that you're called to do today for his kingdom. There's work that all of us are called to do for his kingdom that we may be neglecting. He's got bigger plans. He's moving on. Are you moving with him? And so, hope for their hearts. I'll tell you fourthly, sight for your eyes. And they drew to the villages where they were going. And so, look at verse 28. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was with them, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Jesus was not about to enter into a house where he was not welcome. But the Bible says from that conversation with Jesus, they wanted more of him. Even though they hadn't recognized him yet, they still wanted more. You know, the more time you spend not keeping the appointments that you have daily with Jesus, the more time you spend out of God's Word, the less you desire God's Word. But the more time you spend in God's Word, the more hunger you'll have for His Word. The more desire you have for His Word. You know, whenever I had COVID a while back, I developed this horrible heartburn. I don't know if that was the case with anybody else that had COVID, or if I'm just weird. I may be the anomaly. I don't know. It's just because, you know, I guess my immune system is just so strong, it was fighting so hard against COVID. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I was fighting COVID with heartburn. And every day, I was going to the cabin, I was pulling the Tums out and chewing the Tums, you know. I couldn't find any Rolaid, and I kept going, Rolaid spells relief. I need some Rolaid. And I was digging through the cabinets, and I couldn't find that, the Rolaids, but I ate those Tums like they were candy. And the only thing that could help that was those Tums for just a few moments, and then it'd come back. And you know, that's what it should be like for the Christian. We should have such a burning desire to meet with our Savior every single day and allow Him to illumine the Scriptures. And it says, their hearts burned within them. Does your heart burn within you for Him? Do you have a holy heartburn for God's holy Word? I think you should. And when we do that, and we begin to look into God's Word, He begins to unfold more and more things, and we begin to see new and wonderful things about God that we never knew before. He opens up our eyes. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is illumination, sight for your eyes. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Some of us today aren't ready for the next step that God would have us to do because we're not spending time in His Word. Revelation usually happens one step at a time, and that's it. God's not going to give you the entire picture all at once. He's just going to give you a portion, what you can handle. If He gave you it all, you wouldn't be able to handle it. It's a journey. And if you've got some place where you're stuck and you need an answer, where should you go? Go to His Word. Go to His Word and find the answers that you need. Find sight for your eyes. Lastly, the last spiritual blessing, power for your proclamation. Now listen to what happens next. They were headed home to Emmaus. They've been there. They've probably been there for Passover. Then they've seen Jesus crucified. They're on their way home. They're going down a road that they've been down a million times, wondering what will now become of their lives. And then Jesus opens their eyes. And as soon as that happens, verse 33, they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now notice they've already told Jesus, the sun's setting, the day's over, just come stay with us. But the difficulty of a night journey didn't stop them. They decided that they had to go back to Jerusalem and tell everything that they had seen and heard, and nothing was going to stop them on the way, that they were going to get there. They weren't afraid of night. They weren't afraid of harm to come to them. And when they found the disciples, they shared their testimony with boldness and conviction, like someone who had met with Jesus. And folks, that's exactly the way you and I will be if we recommit to getting back into God's Word every single day. You're going to hit the road, you're going to hit the pavement daily, and you're going to be ready to tell anybody who will listen to you about the living Lord that you know. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. They got a little taste of what it's like to spend time with Jesus, and it set them on fire. Now, I can tell you that a Krispy Kreme donut is a lump of dough with a hole in the middle that it's fried in oil and it's got glazing on top of it. And it tastes so good, it's like the best thing that you could eat. Or I could tell you, woo! I just got me a Krispy Kreme donut. And that's how it makes me feel after I eat one. And somebody had the audacity to come put a dozen of them on my desk this past week and expect me to not eat them. Man, they just melt in your mouth. They're so good. I love me some Krispy Kreme donuts. I promise you, I could probably just lay down on the conveyor belt and be like, eh, and eat the salt, eat the icing. I could give myself a Krispy Kreme hernia from eating too much. I love Krispy Kreme donuts. You know why I can tell you about a Krispy Kreme donut? Because I've spent some time with some Krispy Kreme donuts. I have. I've tasted and seen that they're good. You know why so many of us fail to share about Jesus? Because we haven't spent any time with Him. We just haven't spent time with Him. Think about the words of this song. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. God's calling some of us today to renew our commitment to His Word. And I'm right here with you. Because I have days that, I read my Bible. I can say I read my Bible every day. I couldn't say that at some point in my life. But I read my Bible every day. But for me, I'll tell you, sometimes it's just going through the motions. Is that you, Christian? We just go through that sometimes, just checking it off the list. If that's you today, God is calling you and me to renew the commitment, not to just read our Bibles, but to open our Bibles and engage in a conversation because we are keeping a divine appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk daily in His Word. So that we can have power and joy and hope and clarity. And maybe you don't know Him today. If you met with Jesus, you wouldn't recognize Him at all. But I'm going to tell you today, He's the one that died on that cross. He is the one. And He didn't just die, He died for you. He died for me in our place so that we could have eternal life. And He's calling you today to put your faith and your trust in Him, your hope for eternal salvation in Him. Would you receive Him today? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to have an invitation. But this invitation is going to be different. Because rather than our church inviting you, you're going to invite Jesus. And that's what we're going to do during this invitation. We want you to invite Jesus in. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to say what the those two disciples set on that road. Say, don't go any further, Jesus. Come in right now into my life, into my heart. Pass me not. But come and stay with me. Let this be a divine appointment, Lord, right now, Lord Jesus, that lasts forever. I want you as my Savior. I need you as my Lord. I desire you as my friend. If you pray that prayer and you mean it with all your heart, and you're praying that right now, that Jesus would draw closer to you now than ever before, and He will answer that prayer. He will come in. He'll take up residence in your heart. And He'll give you eternal life. And you can live with Him forever. No appointments needed in heaven. Lord Jesus, I know that You're hearing the prayers of Your saints, and You're hearing the prayer of the sinner that's coming to You, repenting of their sin, asking You for eternal life. And so, Lord Jesus, will You take this invitation, answer the invitation, come in. We pray in Your name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Now we're going to sing, and this is your time. We're inviting you to come and share what Jesus has done in your heart, in your life. If you need prayer, there will be prayer counselors come forward to pray with you. And also, if you want to join this church, make Myrtle Grove Baptist Church your place that you worship on a regular basis and serve alongside the people of God, this is your invitation. You use it the way God would see fit.